Welcome back to season one of Snubs and Dubs, where we're talking the snubs and dubs of the 69th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobias, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, how you doing today?
Oh, Kyle, I'm doing pretty good today. It's been a good day. How about yourself? How are you doing today?
It's been such a chill day. I've been having a nice day off, relaxing, and was completely unready for when you arrived to record this podcast. So
that's beautiful. I worked today and was just as unready when we got here, so we're on the same page.
Right, and now we're here recording audio. Did you watch anything else this week?
I didn't watch anything that would be, in quotations, a movie or TV right. or film of any kind, but my girlfriend and I did go see a play.
Oh.
We watched Garno Block, I think it's called, at the Citadel Theater.
Cool.
It was pretty good. It was kind of nice seeing a live show. I hadn't seen one in so long, and the acting was really good. The acting was mostly really good. There was like it was weird. There was such a good disparity of like really good actors who like could go on to do anything. And then people who are definitely maxing out in Edmonton, Alberta, which is, but still like a good show. It was really well put together. The music was really good. So I enjoyed it. They had the cutest little dog that didn't do anything, but just like was there and getting carried around.
That's cute.
It was good. Overall, I don't know if it's even possible to go see it at this point, but if you're thinking about it, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll look into it.
Yeah. Kyle, what did you watch?
Well, yesterday I saw Venom, Let There Be Carnage, so I had to watch Venom earlier in the week too. So my week was a double dose of Tom Hardy as Venom.
Damn. How was that?
It was fine. Yep. It was just goofy. Like, you saw the first one?
No.
Okay. Well, if you liked the first one, you'll like the second one. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just goofy. I don't know how else to put it. It's just goofy.
I love goof.
It's just like,
so I'm into that. There's nothing wrong with goof.
Yeah, it's not at all trying to take itself seriously. Mm-hmm. It knows kind of that it's just a man and it's goop monster trying to, you know, have a relationship together. And then one, like a serial killer bites him and gets another goop monster. It's stupid, but
the goof community needs more representation in today's cinema. So I'm glad that we're getting out there and getting some films, mm-hmm. even if it's just the Venom series. Goof needs to be represented. So I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, I appreciated it. And, that's good. Well, of course, season one is covering the films from the year 1996. And for this episode 9, we are talking about Adam Sandler's Happy Gilmore. Jason, mm-hmm. have you seen Happy Gilmore before?
Kyle, I'm going to stop you right there because I have a little surprise for you.
Okay.
It is. You didn't even know about this.
No, I didn't know about
this. An ultra special edition of Snubs and Grubs.
Oh, sheesh.
Ruffles, limited time, obviously. Ruffles Double Crunch Hot Wings.
All right, crack it open.
So let's crack it open. This is an impromptu Snubs and Grubs. Before we talk about the movie we came here to talk about, let me lean over and give you some chips. Are you ready to get buffalo winged?
This is double crunch?
Double crunch.
All right, well, we got a double crunch here.
Okay, ready?
Okay, three, two, one. Double the crunch. Ooh,
that's crunchy. Mm. That's got a good flavor to it.
I actually do like the flavor of that.
I'm getting the wing flavor.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And it's like a good level of hot.
Yeah.
Where it's not like spicy. But like, oh, maybe even it is a little spicy.
It's spicy.
Yeah. It's got some considerable spice. I think that lingered a bit more than I expected. That's a pretty good chip. Ruffles Double Crunch Hot Wings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a Snubs and Grubs seal of approval.
That is a Snubs and Grubs seal of approval. I like how it has like hot flavor.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these recent ones that we've been trying, they're just hot for the sake of being hot, but the mm-hmm. flavor of them is still the flavor of that thing.
Yeah.
This has like a hot flavor that like complements the heat itself even more. Yeah.
Like this is actually what I like in a hot wing, but in a chip.
I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of the double crunch though.
I don't know if it's needed. I kind of like it. It's kind of fun.
It was a bit much.
It's too much crunch?
I think so.
Yeah, it could have had that crunch. Could have gone back to normal amount of crunch.
Yeah. Put that down for now. Get back to that later. All right, well.
Well, back to business.
Back to the real shit. All right. So, of course, season one of Snubs and Dubs is talking about the year 1996. And for episode 9, we're talking about Adam Sandler's Happy Gilmore. Jason, have you seen it before?
No, I have not seen it before. But, I mean, it's so heavily referenced in today that I knew a lot about it going in. And Kyle, how about you?
I hadn't seen him before either. And like, this is one of those movies that like, I feel like everyone has seen but me.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
This was like Anchorman. I hadn't seen that until way after its run. So when I finally saw it, a lot of things that my friends and family have been talking about finally made sense to me. And I just felt way behind the curve on that one.
Yeah.
Definitely similar with this one, especially in like the sports world, this is a pillar of what people reference when talking about sports for both hockey and golf.
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot of references to it without knowing a dang thing about it, but this brings it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into it, if you were interested in Happy Gilmore, I've included the links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out the show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link and it'll help out our show in the process. A reminder that this is a spoiler-filled conversation, so if you haven't seen Happy Gilmore, go ahead and do so, or otherwise we are going to jump right in. So, Jason.
Yes.
You ready to hear about Happy Gilmore?
Give me the cold, hard facts about this film.
All right. All Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler, has ever wanted to be is a professional hockey player, but he soon discovers that he may actually have a talent for playing an entirely different sport, golf. When his grandmother, played by Frances Bay, learns she is about to lose her home, Happy joins a golf tournament to try and win enough money to buy it back for her. With his powerful driving skills and foul-mouthed attitude, Happy becomes an unlikely golf hero, much to the chagrin of the well-mannered golf professionals. Happy Gilmore is directed by Dennis Dungan, who is a frequent Adam Sandler collaborator. It is written by Tim Herlihy and Adam Sandler. This was their second collaboration after 1995's Billy Madison. They would also go on to collaborate many more times on Adam Sandler comedies. This stars Adam Sandler, of course, as Happy Gilmore, Julie Bowen as Virginia Vennett, Carl Weathers as Chubbs, Christopher McDonald as Shooter McGavin, and Frances Bay as Grandma. It is a runtime of the perfect 92 minutes. Ooh, money in the bank.
Ooh, that's double crunch movie time right there.
And it released on February 16th, 1996. Jason, what did you think of Happy Gilmore?
It was fine. It was an Adam Sandler comedy. It aged better than I expected because I think a lot of the jokes were just about him being like angry all the time.
Yeah.
Which didn't age poorly. There wasn't like anything that made me absolutely disgusted with what was being said. Yep. There wasn't even really that many moments of like, ooh, like there was really nothing bad taste. I can't say there's a lot in good taste. It wasn't really like that funny, but it's an Adam Sandler movie. So it's Adam Sandler's humor, which is kind of specific. What did you think?
I was also kind of just okay with this. I don't know. Like it's for some reason, I thought that this was going to like maybe be one of the Adam Sandler comedies that were like good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of them, they all have their moments, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. This was just like very middle of the pack, and I guess that's gold standard for Adam Sandler comedies.
That's not bad for Adam Sandler comedies. I did like a lot of the other characters who weren't Adam Sandler's character.
Yeah.
For some reason, Happy Gilmore was the most boring person and the one I cared about the least of anyone there.
Yeah.
Like, Shooter McGavin was hilarious. Yeah. I loved Shooter McGavin. Really I wanted funny. Him to win more than I cared about Happy winning.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to just get into the plot then?
Let's just get into the
plot. Let's get into the plot. We'll get more thoughts as we go through.
Yeah. So the movie begins with a montage of Happy growing up. We learn that as a child, Happy was given a love for hockey by his father, who was so glued to the game that his wife fled for Egypt. And that along with the love of the good old hockey game, Happy's pa also passes on the secret to absolutely juicing a slap shot like it's a lemon and dousing that thing in hot sauce like it's Wing Wednesday.
Oh my God.
Tragically,
that was great. Thank you for that.
Tragically, the power of the slap shot is an agent of both good and evil, and Happy's father is killed by an errant punk while attending the game they love so much, just the way he would have wanted it.
Yeah.
Happy then moves into his grandmother's place, where her sweet, loving ways would be appreciated, but not adapted by Happy, who would go on to develop a wicked anger problem, not fully abated by his quick-to-apologize nature. Happy would pursue the game of hockey throughout all periods of his life, and despite holding the record for penalty minutes and skate stab attempts, he would never break into the majors and would be forced to work odd jobs for little money while he perfected the craft of thrusting different items around pretending it was his penis. Cutting back to the current day, Happy is making another unsuccessful audition for a hockey team. His inability to skate or handle the puck reminds me of a young Kyle Tobiasen on the ice.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
But unlike Kyle, Happy has a humdinger of a slap shot that would put Shea Weber to shame.
I'm not that bad, okay? I just never really played.
You are that bad. Okay. But that's okay. Because I am too.
Yeah.
I'm not any better, so you're not going to hear me say that I am. Things would go poorly for Happy in this tryout, like the 10 before it. And he'd find that after being cut from the team, he would also be cut from his relationship, being left with no line mates or life mates. just a couple of Subway footlongs.
Wow, you're great to say. This is a good one. I like this crossover so far. You spiced it up.
I had more fun.
You Ruffles double crunched hot winged them up.
These were on my mind the whole time. Yeah. The next day, Happy is woken up by a call from his grandmother, and he races to get down to her place to see repo men collecting her belongings due to a massive debt from unpaid back taxes. You go, Grandma.
Stick it to the man. Yeah.
An unlikely hero already. With the loss of her house and everything in it, Grandma is brought to live in a nursing home that, on the surface, appears to be your average retirement home. But when they reveal that it is a neglectful sweatshop designed to maximize profits off the suffering of its residents, they confirm that it is.
Yeah. Ben Stiller was kind of funny here. I didn't expect him, and he's actually uncredited in this movie.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Was he at all big at that point, or was that just like...
I think he was decently big at that
point. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he was put in there, like, the way he entered, you're like, oh, it's Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were... Because a lot of these guys knew each other from Saturday Night Live, I think.
Oh, that probably would have done it.
And so that might have been where they met and where his fame came from. But so I think he was known at that point.
Yeah, he was good in this. He was funny.
Yeah, it was funny, yeah.
The nursing home parts are actually, like, quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good bits there.
Yeah, there is good bits there.
Happy learns that he has 90 days to raise the required $270,000 needed to settle his grandma's debt and begins chipping away at this massive bill by swindling patrons of a local driving range, using a talent to drive the ball 400 yards that he discovered he had when challenged by the repo men who were freezing his grandma's assets. During his lowbrow grift, Happy is discovered by Chubbs Peterson, a retired golfer turned coach who was forced to quit the game after losing his hand to a one-eyed alligator. It happens a lot in golf. This is one of the most ways that people leave the game, unfortunately.
Yeah. And this hand was like horrible.
It's so
funny.
It
was like paper mache. It was just like the worst looking hand.
If you look at his hands, the fake hand is a good like a foot. It's like a foot longer. Like the hand is a foot longer than the other hand.
A foot long?
A foot long.
Subway. Subway.
That was also a pretty good bit.
Yeah, it was a good bit.
I enjoyed the Subway bit.
But like, and I like how the hand just progressively gets worse as he kept trying to fix it. Yeah.
Carl Weathers was great in this.
Oh my God, he was great. For a second, I forgot it was Carl Weathers. But then like once I remembered, I was like, oh my God, he's like really working this. Like, I think he's great in comedies. Like,
he really is good in this.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of his character in Arrested Development. Although like, in Arrested Development, he's purely trying to grift Tobias, pretending to give him acting advice when he just wants his money.
Right.
But in this, like, he's actually trying to life coach to some degree.
Yeah.
But it's a really similar character, and Carl Weathers just slips into it. It's so good.
It is really
time.
Good. Yeah, I liked his character.
Chubbs convinces Happy to participate in a local tournament the next day, with the grand prize being a spot on the pro tour and a chance at a payday big enough to square up with the government. Happy, however, would square up with a lot more people than that as he begins the tournament fighting his assigned caddy who tried to grab his bag, an audience member commentating on his putting, and generally anyone who interacts with him. His long game would still capture the attention of marketer Virginia Vennett and the up-and-coming golf star Shooter McGavin, both of whom would take notice of the unusual and unrestrained newbie to the game, who had secured a win in this tournament in part due to a hole-in-one on a par four, which is quite insane.
That's nutty, yeah.
Yeah, and a generally unmatched long game that could make up for the fact that he played the rest of his golf game like a young Kyle Tobiasen.
Shut the fuck up. How dare you? This has just been shit on Kyle plot summary.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because I read a fun fact that I didn't write down, but it was basically just in real life, Adam Sandler is bad at both hockey and golf.
Yeah. It did feel like when he was playing hockey, like that was... He probably hammed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But you could see he didn't know what he was doing.
No, really.
And
no.
They, like, never let him skate for that long.
Yeah.
He'd always cut away or, like, change the angle.
Yeah.
And with the golf scenes, he does a lot of putting in this, and they probably just had him putt for hours and then used whatever few shots went in the hole.
Yeah, exactly.
After this win, Happy and Chubbs would part ways, as Chubbs wanted Happy to spend a few months mastering the game before moving on to the pro tour, while Happy needed to immediately go all in to save his grandmother's house. Over the next weeks, Happy would slowly work his way up the ranks of the golf pros to the absolute ire of Shooter McGavin, who detested Happy's immature hijinks on the course, and the way that Happy stole the show from Shooter's dominant year on the green. With ratings on Happy's side, however, Shooter would need to get dirty to rid himself of the hip-thrusting, run-driving pest. Nearing the end of the pro tour, Shooter would hire a heckler who could tap into Gilmore's angry side in a pro-am tournament that saw Happy partnered up with The Price is Right's Bob Barker. Despite Happy having reined in most of his absurd behavior in order to keep a promise made to his now girlfriend and romantic interest, Virginia, This heckling causes an explosion that results in Gilmore breaking into a deluge of swings at the ball and then a Bob Barker as the two tussled on national television.
This was a pretty funny bit too, actually.
It was pretty good, especially because Bob Barker packs a punch.
Oh my God, he absolutely slaps down. Like he was like, I thought that they were going to do like a Adam Sandler beats up an old man sort of thing. And then like, you know, he gets shit on, but like, no, Bob Barker actually destroyed Happy Gilmore in this movie.
Yeah. And what's funny about Bob Barker is he always kind of looks to be in his 90s, no matter how old he is. So they kind of work that up, that he looks like pretty old. And then he lays a slap down on Happy.
Yeah. This is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Bob Barker is also good in this. They had a good number of just like kind of this is the purest, just straight cameo, but a lot of like known people popping in for small roles.
Yeah.
And they're all really funny.
Mm-hmm. A lot of my interesting facts came from this Bob Barker bit. And so we'll get to that later.
I'm excited. But this tussle on national television would earn Gilmore a suspension that would prevent him from winning enough money to buy back his granny's house. However, in his darkest hour, a foot-long-sized hero would emerge, and a sponsorship from the second-greatest sub-restaurant, Subway, would push the pot...
Wait. Second greatest? What's the greatest one?
Mr. Sub represents.
No way.
Mr. Sub.
No way.
It's the greatest place that you can purchase a sub.
Where can you even go to Mr. Sub?
There's a couple. I know where they are because they're great. There's a couple near the traffic circle on 142nd.
Do you just like know the location of every Mr. Sub now so you can go out of your way to avoid getting Subway just to get Mr. Sub?
Well, if you're going to Mr. Sub, you have to go out of your way. That's just a fact that you have to accept at that point.
Man, like they actually used to be quite a few places.
Yeah, but then only the real ones remembered about them.
Wow.
And the fake fans went to Subway. This is a complete side thing.
Yeah.
But there is a Mr. Sub that used to be beside the place that one of my bands would practice out of.
Yeah.
I ripped so many Mr. Sub subs.
Oh, nice.
It was like every week I'd go down there and on the way home, I'd stop in. And it's this great customer service where it reminded me of like Blockbuster back in the day. No one cared.
Yeah.
You could walk in and it's basically, I wouldn't be surprised if two people were just like sitting there smoking weed while making your sub. And I'd kind of welcome it because it'd be fun.
Nice.
Yeah. But Mr. Sub, love you. Come home. But the second greatest sub restaurant, Subway, would push his pot over the edge and give Gilmore the money he needed to save his childhood home. The green would fall short of hitting it home, however, when the Gilmores and Vivian roll up to repurchase the house as it had already gone to auction. And Happy is outbid by none other than Shooter McGavin, who isn't just satisfied with Gilmore's suspension, and he will only be happy when there is no Happy on the Pro Tour ever again.
Nice.
Thank you. Motivated by his hatred for the cocky McGavin, Gilmore challenges Shooter to one last face-off, an all-or-nothing battle at the championship tournament. To prepare for this showdown, Happy finds Chubbs, and they begin to learn... Oh, no.
They learn golf. They learn the stroke
game. They learn good golf on the mini-golf course. Yeah. There we go. Happy then gets ready for the maxi golf course after discovering how to travel to his happy place and receives a putter shaped like a hockey stick.
Yeah, that was a nice little gesture from Chubbs.
It was kind of cute, but the whole time I'm thinking, like, is that regulation? Like, can you do that?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are which golf clubs are allowed.
I have to imagine you can't, but he did.
Maybe? I think I read another fact that whatever company made that golf club still actually makes that golf club.
Of course. That's probably a massive cash cow for them. Because everyone has Happy Gilmore as their main point of reference for golf.
Yeah.
I think if you know one like gaffe with golf, it's the stupid Happy Gilmore run-up drive.
Yeah.
And everyone does it.
Yeah.
And it's fun seeing people smoke a ball when they do that.
Yeah. It is kind of funny how that is the thing that's kind of transcended this movie.
Yeah.
Like, even if you haven't seen it, like, which we hadn't, like,
you know the Happy Gilmore hit.
Yeah. Which is funny.
Yeah. Also, I think like I was familiar with the Shooter McGavin. Every time he made a putt, he'd do like the gun thing and shoot the ball. That was so funny because he was so like dedicated to doing it and so serious about it.
Yeah.
It was great.
And like everyone was so unimpressed with it too. Like
no one thought it was cool but him.
When Happy would like jump around riding his golf club like a horse, everyone would be like cheering and like clapping. But when he does his little poo-poo, everyone's just like,
shut the fuck up, Shooter McGavin. I love Shooter. He was my favorite character.
It was
really funny. Unfortunately, Chubbs comes to his end at the end of the training session when Happy gives him the taxidermied head of the one-eyed alligator that had ate his hand all those years ago, causing Chubbs to fall out the open window behind him in fright.
This was such like an anticlimactic death, too.
I know.
It was just like all of a sudden he's like, I got you the alligator. And then he just like falls out the window, dies, hard cut to the funeral.
Yeah. What I do love is there's that one guy who every time someone takes a bad shot, it cuts to him like shaking his head in disapproval.
Yeah.
And when Chubbs falls out the window, he's just there and like shakes his head in disapproval again.
Yeah.
That was a good recurring bit.
Yeah.
They do a couple of those really well. Like there's a lot of what I really liked about this movie is how well they did the small gags that kind of built throughout, but then Happy isn't funny.
No.
So it really kills a lot of that momentum.
Yeah.
But Happy does use the death to power him to go stroke for stroke with Shooter through most of the front nine until the heckler that Shooter had hired earlier returns and takes out Happy with the only driver more powerful than Gilmar's swing, a car.
That's a good one. Thank you. At this moment, I was like, wait, if someone got hit with a car during a professional golf tournament, you would probably just stop the tournament for a second, right? Like you'd be like, okay, pause. Like, let's take a breath. Let's return later because like one of the leading competitors got hit by a car.
Oh, I'm sure you would. Yeah. Especially for the lead car. You'd at least get him checked out by doctors first. Yeah.
But no. But no. This was a very messy regulation. Yeah.
They never removed the car either.
No,
they
just let it
sit there. The dude caught fire and they're like, fucking
there's
leave
a dead
it.
Body there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead. And they're just like, keep playing.
Yeah, play through. It's fine. But after being hit by a car, Happy suffers a massive breakdown and he just keeps falling behind McGavin and drops into third. But he's saved when his grandmother shows up to support him, helping him unlock his happy place once again. And gets his golf hands hot as he races back to tie Shooter coming into hole 18.
Yeah. I did like his little happy place bit too. And I liked when he tried to go to his happy place after getting hit by the car.
Yeah.
And Shooter was in there like
Shooter is
making out with his grandmother and what was her name? Virginia.
Yeah. And that was such a good bit.
Yeah.
That's why I love Shooter so much. He's just such a good villain where like he just comes in dressed in all black and makes out with Vivian. And then you cut back to the grandma who in his real happy place is just winning at the slot machine and Gavin starts making out with her too.
That was good, yeah.
The epic contest would culminate in the last hole as Happy slams a drive all the way onto the green while Shooter drops his drive onto the foot of Happy's supporter and former boss, who is an absolute Frankenstein's monster of a man.
Yep.
Shooter still nails the recovery and drains the putt, giving Happy a chance to end the battle with his next shot or send it to sudden death with a two putt. As Gilmore steps up to finish things, the TV tower that was struck by the heckler's car earlier collapses under the weight of clamoring fans, giving Happy an impossible shot to win. This is another thing where like they'd probably just clear the green.
Yeah, they would clear the green.
I have to imagine they just clear that. But it's a movie, so anyways. Yeah. But Happy, having trained on the battlefield of mini golf courses, makes the perfect bouncing shot through the entire apparatus and wins the golden jacket. We wrap up the movie with a happy ending scene of Gilmore celebrating his win with his girlfriend and grandma, and Shooter getting the piss beaten out of him by the gargantuan former employer of Gilmore. And that's how that wraps.
It's a happy ending.
It is a happy ending.
Happy Gilmore ending.
Yeah.
I liked how desperate Shooter was at the end, too. When he's like, grabs the jacket and he's like running away from the crowd.
Yeah.
He's like, that's my jacket. Yeah.
Like, he has a good arc where you never actually root for him, even though he's one of the more entertaining characters. Like, you know, right away he sucks.
Yeah.
So he just like hams it up good. He just bees a good villain. He doesn't need to like pretend to be a good person or anything. It's like, he's a bad person. He's going to hire people to do bad things. And when he really loses, he'll just take it and run because he's a bad person.
Yeah.
So you feel good when a 7-foot tall monster beats him up after because he sucks.
Yeah. I liked his relationship with the heckler too.
Yeah.
Where like the heckler was really good, like in the moments, and he was funny. But like when he went into the woods with Shooter and he was like, you want to go over to like Red Lobster? You know, it's not me. And
yeah.
He's like,
she was like, nah.
Shooter, I thought we were friends.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
There was also one part where Shooter makes a, like, I think it's during the first tournament. So like Shooter and Happy aren't actually playing against each other directly, but Shooter makes a chip in shot from the rough somewhere, and he looks at his caddy and says, psh, five iron, you're fired. I paused it because I was laughing so hard at that. It was just such a clean, like, he celebrates it, goes, five iron, you're fired. And everybody keeps walking in celebration.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, Shooter had some really good moments. I don't really, like, Happy was pretty consistent the whole way through. Yeah.
He's, so what I didn't like about this is he wasn't playing enough of a character that he just is a stand-in for the audience, mm-hmm. because he does do some goofy stuff, and he like, he has anger issues, and he does silly, like, immature jokes, like everything that he holds is his penis, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just like a non-character, but he wasn't a funny character either. So I didn't like the parts where he was doing things.
Yeah, this was like a comedy for me where, like, I would smile and I would occasionally laugh at those parts, mm-hmm. but like, it wasn't like a buckle over or like have to stop the movie laughing. Like,
yeah,
for me at least, like, especially with Happy, like, and like the love story was so weird.
Yeah,
it was just like really rushed. And then when they go to the hockey rink, that what does she see in him?
Weird. Yeah, first of all, yeah, what, he's not that good, and she clearly is upset by the things he does as a human being. It didn't make sense as a relationship. I think absolutely you could have just made that be he had a crush on her and she didn't care about it. You could have probably made it funnier that way.
It would be more interesting if she was like manipulating him because she wants to get the good ratings and because that's what she, that's why she fights so hard to keep him on.
Yeah, she doesn't really care about him.
Yeah, because he brings in like a whole different crowd that golf hadn't got before.
Yeah.
And like she makes the, like, I don't know, the heads of the golf, professional golfers see that and like, they're like, that's why he can't even get thrown off the tour, he's just suspended.
Yeah, because he just bring makes in such too good much ratings. Money.
Yeah, and that would have been interesting if like she maybe was using him and like she saw that the romantic angle would maybe sway him in that way because of his dumb little anchor brain. But like, I don't know.
I wonder if this was something that was like added in late, like they were forced to make it a romance story because they. I don't know if the scenes they added, like. It seems to me like it could have been done afterwards.
Yeah.
The hockey scene was pretty much just them and one other guy.
Yeah.
But the scenes where there's a lot of people during the golf stuff, they don't really have much of a relationship other than like quick comments to each other.
Yeah. I wonder if actually there was more.
Yeah.
Because I actually read that they had to cut half an hour of this movie because to meet the PG-13 rating.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that would, they just didn't have a chance to make the love story they actually wanted.
Yeah. And they got around, there was a creative use of getting around swearing.
Yeah.
Because obviously a character like Happy, you know, he's having these angry outrages and he would likely be swearing. And so they cut to the TV where it was happening live and someone was bleeping him.
Yeah.
And that was really creative. I thought that worked really well.
That was actually a really funny scene when they're discussing if he's good for the sport or not between like, I don't, the commissioner or whoever and Shooter McGavin. And they're talking about how the commissioner doesn't want to get rid of him because he's good for ratings and like whatever. While the TV has him just bleeping out like an entire 3-minute yelling spree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he straight up assaults people.
He does.
On live television.
A lot
television.
Of what he does should be more of a concern for the police.
Yeah.
Than the ratings. But
I like another bit I liked was he wanted to get paid right away.
Yeah.
So he just asked for them to make out the big checks to him.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't the grand prize, just so he could have a check that he could cash right away.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Which, because he still had the 90 days. So he didn't actually need it right away. But you get his mindset where, like, he doesn't care about the tournament. He just wants to make as much money as he can for his grandma.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Shooter McAdams, your favorite character in this movie?
Shooter McGavin is my favorite.
McAdams.
And also, I got a quick question about the actors in this. What was the name of the actor who played Shooter McGavin?
Ooh, good question. Christopher McDonald.
Because the woman who played the grandmother was Frances something, right?
Frances Bay.
We almost had another Frances McDormand anyways.
Oh my god.
We almost got another one.
We're so close.
We almost had to like kind of really stretch that. But we got Francis McDonald somewhere in there.
In Happy's not so happy place.
Yeah.
When they were making love. I also liked Shooter McGavin.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a good villain. I from what I gather from reading, like Christopher McDonald almost didn't take this role too because he was getting like typecast as like a villain.
Yeah.
But like because it was a comedy villain, and like he was like, okay, well, let me read it. And then he read it and he loved it. And so
I'm glad he was a really good actor for that. Mm-hmm. He sold it really well. He looked like a golfer. Like he had the right face for it. Like, you know that he was born into a lot of wealth and he just started playing golf at three because he never had to work in his life.
That's one thing they did really well. They made Happy seem so out of place.
Yeah. Because,
and like, I mean, they're just copying what actual golf aesthetic is like. Mm-hmm. But like, you put this guy who just wears like hockey jerseys and oversized t-shirts and shorts and whatever on the field next to like some guy in fucking corduroy pants and a shirt that's got some guy golfing in the sunset.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny by comparison. And that's probably where the whole thing began.
Probably.
It's probably Adam Sandler and his writing partner would be like, man, these golf guys think they're all that or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if one of us average guys played golf with them.
Whoa, zany. Yeah.
And then they wrote an entire movie where Adam Sandler was kind of the most boring part.
Yeah, I don't know why they needed the love plot.
They should have either really rewritten that to have more depth to it. Also, Vivian stops being a character once she starts dating Happy. She's not important anymore. She doesn't do anything. Whereas before, she at least had something interesting where she was the marketer and presenting like, oh, we need this kind of happy guy in golf to make it more interesting. But then they start dating and then she just becomes his girlfriend and she gets boring.
Yeah. And it was almost convenient too, like with Carl Weathers' character Chubbs, how he wants to spend 3 months with him to perfect golf. And Adam Sandler's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then he's like, okay. And then he just lets him go do the tournament when they could probably have been doing like little lessons on the side. Like they only got one lesson together, really.
Yeah.
With the mini golf, and then that fixed everything.
Yeah. Why would Chubbs not want to stick around?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was just kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because
was there some reason about he didn't like his play style, so he wanted to fix that, but then he kind of gave in when Happy came back to him later? I don't remember. If they didn't make a big enough deal for it to have impacted the plot, so I don't even recall what was going on there, other than he just kind of leaves.
Yeah.
But I didn't really question it. It seemed like it was one of those things where in a comedy movie where you have 90 minutes to get this thing across, I'm like, I'm not going to really question that call. Like, that's good enough.
Yeah. Any other thoughts you had on Happy Gilmore?
I didn't have a whole lot of thoughts on Happy Gilmore. Normally, I like to watch everything twice, but I watched it once and I did like click through to get the plot summary down.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to watch it again.
No.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I was kind of surprised that this has hung around so much in terms of people's like reference for comedy.
Yes.
Because it wasn't that funny.
That's what surprised me is for some reason I had this perception that everyone had seen it and it was just some sort of comedy classic. And then I watch it and it's like, fine?
Yeah. Like there are good moments, but it doesn't seem to me like the kind of movie that would exist outside of 1996, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem super needed after that.
No, and I don't think this kind of movie would do well nowadays, too. Like, it's just kind of like this would be, I mean, it's kind of in line with a lot of Adam Sandler comedies.
It is.
Which, you know, makes sense. Like, he writes them and he obviously does whatever he wants to do. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I just, I don't know. Maybe we're just not Adam Sandler fans. Like, or his comedy fans.
I'm not really an Adam Sandler comedy fan. No, so.
I'm not either. I like his dramatic stuff. Like, I think he's done really good in like Punch Drunk Love, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson film.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in that. And recently, Uncut Gems, was fucking phenomenal in both those movies. He's a really good actor, but he just wants to do this shit all the time.
Yeah, he just wants to be Adam Sandler in a movie making jokes.
And like, I mean, you do you, man. Like, obviously it's working well for him. He's making lots of money, but like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
It didn't work for me.
No, I was pleasantly surprised with how well it aged, but outside of that, it's a comedy movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really racist. It's not really sexist. Not really. Like, what's her name? Virginia doesn't have much of a character. So I guess that, maybe.
It's definitely dated in how it was written, but there wasn't like, you always expect some kind of shocking punch down humor that doesn't age well. And this didn't really have that, which is good.
Yeah, it was just kind of just anger humor, really. And so I guess that's to its credit. It's aged decently well, but
it has some good, like, more subtle jokes, but the big, like, funny gaffe moments weren't that funny.
No. I liked the the homeless guy that he brings on.
Yeah.
That's just like a funny thing because like he didn't know that he needed to bring his own caddy for the pro tour. And so he just goes and hires the homeless guy that was outside trying to make some money washing windows.
Yeah.
And like he was actually pretty, you know, helpful.
Yeah, he stuck around the entire time. He was there for the whole movie.
Yeah, but like Happy also like helped that guy, like turned his life around probably, if you think about it, because like they were all just like shooing him away and Happy's like, you know, he's just trying to make some money and he's trying to give this guy money. And then he brings him on this tour. And then by the end, like he's with them when they come back to the house.
Yeah.
He's in like golf attire.
Yeah. Like, so, like slowly throughout the movie, he dresses better and he never like has any lines, I don't think. But
no,
he like, it is something in the background that they're trying to build, like kind of, and not really even a gag, but yeah, they treat him pretty well. Definitely at the start, they're like kind of punching down like a little bit, which is not shocking in a 1996 film. Of course, they're going to make jokes at the expense of the homeless person. But then, yeah, like Adam Sandler actually does stand up for him, takes him on the tour. And actually, he has like a good story, even though it's not very in-depth. It's just kind of in the background of things. But
yeah,
they treat him well. So
also, can we talk about the scene where Adam Sandler fights an alligator?
Oh, yeah.
That was weird. That was really weird. It was goofy. But it was funny. I mean, like, it was funny how he comes out and like the ball's just in his eye or in his mouth and he notices the eye.
Yeah.
And he's like, Chubbs. So he tries to like avenge Chubbs' hand and kills the alligator.
Yeah. And you got to consider timeline wise. He just kept that body for a while before giving it back to Chubbs. I don't know where. Did he just like make his caddy carry it?
Yeah. Maybe it took a while to get like taxidermied. And so like
he had to send
it away and then had it come back. And maybe it was just in time for his lessons with Chubbs.
Maybe. But, yeah, it was pretty good.
Anything else?
No. I mean, I do want to say that scene with Happy and Vivian on the ice rink is weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. Especially when they make that bet where Adam Sandler's like, oh, if you can get this puck into the net, you can leave.
Yeah.
If you miss, you have to kiss me. Mm-hmm. And then she gets it in.
I thought she, like, it would have been a better bit if she actually left.
Yeah, I know. It was just funny. Like, they wanted to do a funny bit, but then they had to make it serious because you need to actually establish the relationship at some point. So then she's like, well, I didn't see it go in, and then kisses him.
Yeah. But, I just don't get why she did. Like, why did she go for him?
I don't know. Weird. It seemed didn't do anything for me. That relationship didn't really do anything for me.
Me neither. Like, I mean, I guess she helped him get the subway. I mean, she helped him.
She did,
more ways
than
he helped her, probably. I mean,
yeah.
It was mutual. It was professionally mutually beneficial. Mm-hmm. But like romantically, no.
Yeah. They didn't seem like a good pair.
They didn't. No. It was just weird. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on Happy Gilmore?
Absolutely not.
No. Like you shouldn't. Good call.
All right. We'll get into the reviews and the wrap up then. So what do you think your general guess is for what the critics thought and what the audience thought?
I'm going to say critics 63, audience 78.
Wow. Pretty close, actually. Critics was 61 on Rotten Tomatoes and audiences was 85 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I shot a little too in the middle there. Yeah. But yeah, that makes sense because it's a, for some reason, fans loved it and keep talking about it, whereas I don't know what the critics would really care for in it.
IMDb was a 7. Metacritic was a 31. Oh my God, I forgot how low this was. Yeah, this is really bad.
I don't even blame them, honestly.
I think the users on Metacritic was a bit higher. I think that was in the 80s again. But the critics on Metacritic absolutely fucking hated this movie.
Ripped
apparently.
It apart.
Yeah. It also had a box office of $41.2 million on a budget of $10 to $12 million, which landed it at the spot 46th overall for the year, which for me was surprising because like even things like Trainspotting made more money than it.
Yeah.
And I thought that because this was like some like classic comedy, that it would have been like top of the box office.
But I bet you this was something that maybe didn't really catch fire in its first year, but people would just keep coming back to it and it would kind of just have like a more underground following, but it didn't have a big first year. Because I can see this if I saw that in theaters, I'm not really telling anyone they have to go see that.
No,
but I can imagine a lot of people would get that on VHS later, or they'd go rent it when you don't care what movie you're about to go see.
It probably had a big home video life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably where it lived. Yeah. Do you want to get to our rankings then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Enjoyment. What was your general enjoyment of Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, I'm going to give this 2.5.
Yeah. That's fair.
there was some funny moments, but like for the most part, it was a movie.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you there, actually. I'm going to do a 2.5 as well. It didn't exceed expectations. It didn't make me hate it. So, I mean, yep. It was just fine.
Yeah. I mean, there was only a couple good moments saving that for me, like a 2 or something. But
yeah,
it's a 2.5. I can't hate it.
No, I can't. Craft. Cinematography, costumes, score.
I don't know, man. I don't know either. Did they care that much? 2. It, yeah. Like, this one's even a little bit lower because there's nothing that really caught my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might even go 1.5. Like, it was just so basic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
There was the one sound effect they used for the drive, like, every time.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a whip and a crashing sound, which was, it was kind of a funny bit throughout, but like, yeah.
It almost like wasn't zany enough to really be a laugh out riot, though. It just was, yeah.
And the costumes were fine for like, you know, what the purpose they served.
Yeah. But it's like, all you had to do was come up with stereotypical golfer and then normal person. So it's not like they rewrote the book on that one.
Execution, acting and writing.
I don't know, man. I guess this is what they wrote. I'll give their execution a 3. I don't think anything really fell short of what they were going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm going to 2.5.
It's just so. Say, I'm going to 2.5 it as well.
Yeah, it's just so they did what they wanted to do. They didn't take any risk or make anything that difficult. They just wanted to make a pretty average comedy movie.
Yeah. I also think the acting was like sometimes great, sometimes not so good. Like, yeah. I really liked Ben Stiller in his small bit, Carl Weathers, and Shooter McGavin. But like, Adam Sandler was just fine, I guess.
And I feel like seeing the roles that Carl Weathers did near like later in his career,
yeah,
that just was Carl Weathers having fun. Like, I don't think that was even really that hard of a role to disappear into.
No. Rewatchability. How likely are you going to rewatch this?
If this is on, I will watch it again. Because it's kind of just like such good background stuff.
It is so pretty good background music.
Yeah. I can almost guarantee you I will see this again at some point in my life. So I'm going to give this one a 3.
That's fair. I might go a little lower. I might go like a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really urgently going to watch it. Yeah. I'm not also actively going to maybe try to watch it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I can just see with, you know, the people that I know and the things they're into, I will come across this movie again at some point. So probably. I'll just put that down as I know I'd watch it when it's on.
So then for our season ranking, do you want to hit us with the current rankings?
I would actually love to.
Before you do that, what does that leave us for total score?
So for my score, it was a perfect across the board 50%.
Wow.
And then you were a little harsher on it and you gave it a 9 out of 20 for 45%.
All right. Yeah.
That sounds about correct.
Yeah.
All right. Ranking time?
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, you're going to start first because I'm going to read off yours right now. Okay. You have from top to bottom, Fargo, Independence Day, Bottle Rocket, Trainspotting, Twister, Primal Fear, The People vs. Larry Flint, and Lone Star.
It's going below Lone Star.
Going number 9?
Yeah.
Straight to the bottom?
Yeah. Because I was actually thinking about this prior to the episode, and I was like, did I like this more than Lone Star? And like, well, Lone Star was kind of slow and I, you know, expressed how boring it was on the episode.
Yeah, you were wrong. Yep.
It did have more to it that I enjoyed than I think this movie gave me enjoyment. And so that's why it's below. And then I was looking at every other movie after that and I was like, is this better than? No. Is this better? No. And so like, it's the bottom for me.
Yeah. I'm going to slide this one in at number 8. Oh, I should probably go through my list too.
You should go.
So I have from top to bottom, Fargo, Lone Star, Independence Day, Bottle Rocket, Trainspotting, Primal Fear, Twister, The People vs. Larry Flint. I'm going to bump The People vs. Larry Flint down one, and I am going to put Happy Gilmore at number 8. I actively do not want to see The People vs. Larry Flint again. I could watch Happy Gilmore again.
Yeah.
I could sit through another viewing of it.
That's fair.
So I'm going to put it number 8 so far on the year.
Cool. That's fine.
That's our ratings.
Yeah. Still disagreeing on stuff. This is a great streak.
Now there's a little nuance to our disagreement. This isn't like the barn burner that Lone Star number two versus number seven was. This is the difference between last and second last.
True. Yeah. Same with Twister. It was Primal Fear that separated us.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into some funny letterbox reviews then. I got one from Lauren here. She gives it 1.5 star and she said, "My dad made fun of me for seeing Uncut Gems because Adam Sandler was in it and then proceeded to laugh his ass off to this movie."
I mean, that's kind of fair. Like this, if you're having, if this is like the epitome of your comedy,
yeah,
there's funnier stuff out there.
Absolutely.
That's the point.
Yeah. Here's another 1.5 stars from Sylvian. "Mark, spoilers because I spoiled my pants. If I sat and tried to fart as many times as I could in one hour and 31 minutes, that would be more productive than watching Happy Gilmore. Tally your score and tweet me to let me know how you got on. 25 is the score to beat. Shit yourself and you're disqualified."
What? This person's starting a fart off in the comments. Yeah. But also, who comes to Letterboxd before they watched it? What? Yeah, Who's going to go to this and be like, okay, now that I'm about to watch Happy Gilmore, I can get some juice ready.
Oh my God.
That's really creative though.
It was
funny. Like
it was actually Mark's spoilers because he'd spoiled his pants. So he clearly was disqualified. DQ'd? Yeah.
Whatever, that's good.
Now on the other side of the spectrum, we got a 5 star from Matt. "Comedy classic. This movie always makes me crave Subway, even though the cold club is straight up booty."
Then order something else.
Yeah, I know, right?
They have a pretty extensive menu.
Yeah, not only that, but you can like make your sub the way you want it. Like you don't have to get the cold club.
You eat it your way. I will say, what's this person's name?
Matt.
Matt, if you're tired of what Subway's offering you as a sub, give Mr. Sub a try. Find your closest one. It might be north of the border. They might be only in Canada.
I think they are in Canada.
It's worth the drive. Come to the frozen north. Get yourself a nice Mr. Sub classic.
Yeah.
And you won't regret it.
What's your order at Mr. Sub?
Oh, it changes every time.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of Mr. Sub is they have a wide selection of pre-made subs. Mm. They already know what a sub needs to be delicious. So every time I go there, I'll try something new.
Yeah.
I'll reward my taste buds. I'll give them a little field trip to Flavor Town called Mr. Sub.
Good for you.
Thank you.
You do you.
And I'll do Mr. Sub.
I got one more 5 star here. It's from Frederick. And he says, "Like all Adam Sandler movies, it's perfection." So I guess we kind of know where Frederick's at.
The only thing you can say about all Adam Sandler movies is that Adam Sandler's in it. Yeah. That's the only thing you can say about that. Nothing else unifies them.
So like, I think this is one of those where if you love Adam Sandler, you probably love this.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you probably hate it.
You probably
or you're like middle of the road like us.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not the worst one in the world.
No.
It's not. By far, like he's done worse comedies.
Oh, he absolutely has.
But like, it's just, I don't know. I don't get where this classic status is coming from.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think people remember the quotes more fondly than they remember the movie.
Yeah, probably.
They probably need to watch the movie again to really remember.
Yeah, they probably remember their 5 favorite parts of this and not how those are segued together at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like it, you know, it's a quotable movie, I guess.
Yeah.
To some extent.
It's not a hard bar to get to, though.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into the juicy stuff, the Academy Awards details. Do you think he was nominated for anything?
Kyle, I'm willing to bet right now that is an empty section you're looking at.
It is nothing. They were not nominated for a single Academy Award, which also makes you question why we are even talking about it.
Why are we even talking about it?
So like, I saw this and I was like, oh, like again, this is going back to my feeling that this is a more popular movie than it is.
Yeah.
And like, I looked at the box office, I was like, how did this do that poorly? I mean, it still made money, but like, it wasn't like a big money banks movie.
Yeah.
But like,
you know what? It has the staying power that people are still referencing it 25 years later. I'm glad I saw that. So now I know what's all going on. Now I know the buzz, but I guess that's the most impressive thing it did is it kind of stayed relevant somehow.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if we're going to give a full nuanced picture at the finale, we got to give every notable film its due.
This is the nuance. We are adding a little nuance right now with this episode.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is probably the only one where we'll be safe to say that when it comes to finale, This is not Best Picture. It's not
Best Picture.
No, absolutely not. It was nominated and won 2 MTV Movie Awards. It won the MTV Movie Award for Best Fight between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker.
Sure.
And it was nominated for the MTV Movie Award for Best Comedic Performance by Adam Sandler. So,
That second one, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
But that Bob Barker fight, it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. But I'm not surprised it wasn't nominated for any Academy
Awards. No, giving it 2 nominations is quite generous. Giving it 2 awards even is charitable.
Yeah. So I got 2 interesting facts, 2 in quotes, because one is a pretty bulky one that I actually combined several fun facts into because they're all about the same thing.
Oh, wow.
So the first one I'll get out of the way. Around 30 minutes of this film were cut to obtain the PG-13 rating. I already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the big one. Bob Barker wasn't sure if he wanted to be in this movie. When he learned that he was going to win a fight with Adam Sandler, he accepted the role. When the director, Dennis Dungan, told Bob Barker that a stunt double would be used in the fight scene, Barker insisted on doing his own stunt, saying, "Wait a minute, I know how to fight." This is because Bob Barker studied Tang Soo Do Karate for decades under Chuck Norris and his brother Aaron Norris.
What? That's insane.
Yeah.
That's a massive fun fact.
It was crazy reading that. I was like, what the fuck? That's awesome.
I did not know any of that happened. I know. That these relationships existed. That's incredible.
Right? Yeah. So fun. Okay, last Bob Barker bit. Because of Bob Barker's cameo, ratings for The Price is Right rose considerably amongst college age viewers, which is an interesting parallel to this movie because of what Happy did for golf.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
That's a good fun fact. You really killed it on that one.
I know. There were so many Bob Barker facts. It was like literally most of the fun facts that I found was around Bob Barker in this movie.
Is Bob Barker cool? Is he low-key actually kind of cool? Is he sick?
Before I came downstairs, Dennis was telling me that he would always tell you to get your animals neutered because he was really pro animal.
He was, pro getting your pets neutered so there's not just like a bunch of animals in the streets.
Yeah, so he was a good...
good for Bob Barker.
I like Bob Barker now more. Especially now that I know he trained under Chuck Norris and his brother. That's epic.
That's pretty wicked. How do you hate that?
I know.
I'm scared to fully endorse Bob Barker because I've not done a thorough vetting of this man. But from what I've heard in the last 20 minutes, this guy's sick.
All right, any final thoughts though?
I got nothing left in the tank. No, that's Happy nothing. Gilmore. Yeah, how about you?
I'm exhausted of Happy Gilmore already. This has been a pretty short episode, so.
Yeah. Happy Gilmore. Let's get Happy Gil less.
Nice.
Thank you.
I was going to be like angry for a second, but no, that wasn't the one. You've been on a roll today. Your plot summary was spicy.
Thank you. I
liked it.
I had more fun writing that after than I did for watching most of the movie.
You had to make the plot summary for Happy Gilmore funny.
Yeah.
Which is not a good sign.
No. Fuck, I gotta send this to MTV. Like, I just spiced up your favorite funny movie from 1996.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys all for listening to season 1, episode 9 of Snubs and Dubs. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this film or on this episode, so please send us a tweet or a message with a question or recommendation or anything else. I'm also at Kyle DeBison on Twitter, and Jason is at Wendy_Mills on Twitter. Of course, all those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. If we had a 5-star review, we'd read it off right now in this show, so go ahead and leave a 5-star review in-app on Apple Podcasts on this episode or in Good Pods, and we will read it off on the next episode. Next week, we're talking about another film from 1996. Here is a sneak peek of the movie we're going to talk about.
My name is Jerry Maguire. I'm a sports agent. You could say I'm at the top of my game, but something just isn't right.
Jerry Maguire!
What can I do for you,
Rod? Show me the money.
You know what I'm saying? Show me the money! Money!
That's right. Next week, we're talking about the second nominee for Best Picture this season, Jerry Maguire. So make sure to watch it before next episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.